So today's Torah portion, it's very interesting place of scriptures. Parshat Vayeshev, he settled. And I call my message, the Lord is the potter, and we are clay in his hands. This is something that really touched my heart this year. And actually, this second song, we had interesting slide here. He's our potter, and we are clay. Oh, thank you so much. Beautiful. It's like confirmation from the Lord to me. The chapter from the Torah that we will look at today is very interesting and full of important lessons for every one of us. Really rich Torah portion. This is the story of Joseph's life, his struggles, his faith in God. We can have so much lessons for us. I want to draw our attention to the fact that reading this story is much easier than experiencing it in life. What do you think? Are you agree with me? For sure, I think so. When we read the scriptures, we can say in our hearts to Joseph, come on, hang on. Everything will be fine on the next page. The Lord will make you great again. But the fact is that then Joseph went through all these difficulties. There was no book of Bereshit, of Genesis. And he could not read the end of the story of his life. That happened to him was very, very real and very difficult for him. He went through difficult times of his life. So I would like to talk about the topic of our calling and word from the Lord into our lives, because he's our example and we're following his steps in our lives. So, but first of all, let's look at Joseph's situation. Let's open Genesis chapter 37 from second verse. Genesis 37, 2. When Joseph was 17 years old, only a youth. I like this translation, only a youth. So, look, I mean, is it obvious that 17 is youth for sure? He's a young man. My son, and he's 16, so Joseph was a year older, much more wiser in 1 year. So he was shepherding the flock with his brothers, who were the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his other sons because he was the son of his old age. So he had made him a long-sleeved tunic. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak to him in shalom, in peace. I mean, family situation. I'm the younger brother in my family. Not so much, but sometimes we had the same situations. So verse 5. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse in next verses. Then Joseph dreamed a dream and told his brothers, and they hated him even more. He said to them, please listen to this dream I dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the middle of the field. All of a sudden, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Verse 8. Will you truly be a king over us? His brothers said to him, Will you really rule over us? I mean, can you imagine this story? Yeah, they bowed down before him in the end of the story, but he was servant to them. It's interesting. So they hated him even more because of his dreams and because of his words. But then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers, saying, I have just dreamed another dream. Suddenly, there was the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowing down to me. He told it to his father as well as his brothers. Then his father rebuked him and said to him, What's this dream you dreamed? Will we really come, your mother and I, with your brothers, to bow down to the ground to you? So his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the speech in mind. You know, it reminds me of the story of Jacob, his father, because his mother received the word from the Lord about him and kept this word. So very interesting story, because Torah shows us this moment. He kept the speech in mind. He remembered this moment. So Joseph is a young man, 17 years old, the youngest and most beloved son in the house. And you know the continuation of the story. They sold him. He differed from the rest of his brothers because of his love to God. And we can see from his life and his devotion. We can read story and we know that he loved the Lord, deeply loved the Lord with all his heart. And also for his love to his father Jacob. He loved his father. It's obvious here. His father trusted him in everything and sent him to check the work and the diligence of his brothers. So, it was not him going to check things. It was his father sending him to check his brothers. And we'll find why. Probably some reason behind it. And Joseph had a supernatural ability, a gift from God to see and interpret the dreams that the Lord sent him. It was his gift from the Lord, gift of the Holy Spirit. And the most important of everything, he had the greatest calling from God on his life. He was called by God. This calling was the preservation of the whole family of Jacob, the salvation of his entire family. That was the calling from God into his life. The Lord called him to do that. But not only family, as we will see later in the scriptures, but also the salvation of all Egyptians and other peoples, other nations, thanks to the gift and wisdom of Joseph, who remained alive in the most difficult times of famine. Because of Joseph, they were preserved and saved too. Not only his family, but nations around him. So let's see what's happened with Joseph. Very briefly. So first of all, Joseph's father loved Joseph more than his other children. He was beloved son, youngest one, and you know, sometimes in the Jewish families it happens, you know. And when we read the stories about his siblings who treated Joseph and his parents so cruelly, who planned to kill him because of their envy, and then finally, who planned and shamelessly sold him into slavery to die, we will understand why Jacob loved Joseph and did not trust the other sons. It's the problem in the family. And as father, he knew it. And also another account of how the brothers treated others in the story of their sister Dinah shows us their cruel hearts. In the Genesis chapter 34, I will not read it, but you can read it. So his brothers, they were really difficult people. They were really cruel, not only to his brother, but also to people around them. Second, Joseph's brothers envied and hated Joseph because he was special. Let's say together, he was special. Sometimes it is enough to be special when others don't like you. He was not like them. He was different. He was Joseph. He was pure. The third thing in his life, Joseph had dreams from the Lord. So first reason is enough to hate him. Second, it's more than enough. And third, it was a direct calling from God into his life. And I think it's my opinion. I don't want to push it, but it's my opinion. Because of his naivety and youth, this is why Bible tells us he was 17 years old. A youth. It tells me that he was not so wise. He don't know all these specifics in the relationships between brothers and fathers and what to tell, what do not tell, what to say, what not to say, you know. He was a young man. He saw a dream. He came to his brothers and he shared with them. He came to his father and he shared with him his dreams. Because of his naivety, he told these dreams to his father and brothers. Probably many times in his life, he said to himself, "Why? Better to be quiet." But he was a young man. The reason why I think Joseph did not have bad motives, because I read about it from some books that he was, you know, proud and anything. I don't think so. The reason I think that he was clear and pure, I don't think he had bad motives and pride, is because the scripture makes no mention of such character of Joseph, first of all. And because Joseph's whole life is an example of meekness, love, forgiveness, humility, sacrifice, serving other people to the detriment of himself. So he served to others through all his life. He was not a proud man. I don't see it here. And fourth, it was because of God's calling and the election that the brothers hated Joseph and decided to kill him. They don't like him before, but they decided to kill him after he received the calling from the Lord. They decided to kill him. For me, especially, as for me, this recalls the story of Cain and Abel. Two siblings. The same story. Genesis chapter 4 from verse 3. So it happened after some time, Genesis 4, 3. So it happened after some time that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Adonai. While Abel, he also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. Now Adonai looked favorably upon Abel and his offering. But upon Cain and his offering, he did not look favorably. Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. For me, it's the same idea here. Envy. Angry. Hatred. So Cain killed Abel because of his envy and because God was more pleased with Abel's offering than his own. So calling on Joseph's lives became a cornerstone for his brothers because he was chosen by the Lord. This story also foreshadows the life and suffering of the Messiah, who was hated by those who envied his life and his calling. The same idea. Messiah was killed because of envy of others. And Joseph is a prophetic example of the Messiah, Yeshua. We can see many things what happened with Joseph also happened in the life of Messiah. And I would like to mention here one very important lesson for us, for me personally. It is important to understand that the calling from God is an expensive calling. It is not a cheap thing. It is always expensive. And, you know, when you hear, like, what do you need to be saved? Nothing, I'll just say, I'm sorry. Yes, this is the first step. But the price is coming after it. The one who responds to the call of God will always pay the price, according to the scriptures. And, I mean, it's a joyful price. It's not that you are depressed and you are disaster and your life is end because you received the calling from God. It is a happy time, joyful time, but it's also price for you. Because there will always be people who will envy that call. People who will not understand that call, and always will be difficulties of life through which one must go as he is fulfill the call of God. So it's always happened. Always. And you know what's in the scriptures I see here clearly? The greater the calling, the greater the price and the process of purification. It is always the case in the scriptures. The greater the calling, the greater the price. It is the price that every person who decides to follow the Lord in his life must be ready to pay. I mean, every one of us. And I don't think we will pay Joseph's price. I have a question, actually. Who wants to be the second after president? Who wants to be second after the president? Joseph was second after the Pharaoh. Remember the story? So who wants to be second after the president? Vice president, yeah. Who wants to be vice president? When you look at the story of Joseph, it's a great prize behind this thing. And to be somebody in the kingdom of God, you need to understand that the Lord will change your life. I mean, maybe comparison is not too good because we live in democracy and we can do this and that. But an idea to have a power over other people's lives, you need to be ready. You need to be prepared to use this power in the proper way. All the prophets and servants of God that we read about in the scriptures paid dearly for following their calling from God, every one of them, everyone. So, and Joseph is the one of these many examples, but great example for us, great example. He paid the price with the Lord, and he walked with the Lord. So let's go back to Joseph and what I want like to talk about today. So Joseph received a word from God for his life. Let's paint this picture for us. So he received a word from God, direction for him. A prophetic direction, a promise, the purpose for which the Lord had created him. So he received it from the Lord. What a great and joyful event it must have been for Joseph. What do you think? To receive direction from the Lord. I think so. So as Joseph rejoiced that the Lord was speaking to him, and that gifts from God were acting in his life. I mean, I rejoice always when the Lord is speaking to me. It's my joy. Sometimes I don't like what I'm hearing, but most times I'm grateful to him. But yeah, sometimes it's difficult. Probably when he heard the voice of God and experienced the joy of the Lord, he supposed that probably the whole family would be happy too. What do you think? The Lord spoke to me. I heard his voice. I saw these dreams. Brothers! As Joseph rejoiced, you know what's happened next. And this is truth for today. The biblical truth is that between receiving a word from the Lord and experiencing its fulfillment, that can be a far, far distance between receiving the Lord word from the Lord and its fulfillment. We can have a lifetime. The Lord himself had spoken to Joseph, had given him his marching orders, and sent him on a mission when he was 17 years old. Did that mark Joseph's entry into victory and prosperity? What do you think? Was it like way to prosper and to be... Now, Joseph. On the contrary, it was the beginning of a most difficult lifelong test for him. Joseph's family didn't understand him. It is almost like he joined the Messianic movement, almost. What's going on with you? Are you Christian? Are you Jew? What's going on? Joseph was betrayed by his siblings, sold into slavery, and miraculously escaped death at their hands. They planned to kill him at first, and then they sold him to die. He was betrayed by Potiphar because of the deception of Potiphar's wife, who wanted to seduce Joseph. He was sentenced to an Egyptian prison, and I think, my opinion, probably without a private room, without Wi-Fi, without computers, without gym. What do you think? It was different kind of prison, not kind of... Okay. So the truth of scriptures I want to proclaim today is that when the Lord speaks his word into our lives, we need trust, faith, that the Lord will fulfill his word in his time. It takes trust. It takes relationships with the Lord. It takes our faith to believe, to trust. We as people want everything now, yesterday, and especially in this age of technology. And patience is a very difficult thing to learn and to practice. So Joseph had a long time to be patient, to wait upon the Lord. Long time. But the Bible calls us to wait on God, to trust him, to hold on to his promises in our hearts. Hold on to his word. Don't let this word go from you. Hold on. Trust the Lord. Be faithful to him. Sometimes you have to wait a very long time. But the Lord is faithful. He is faithful. And in this sense, when I read it, it's my opinion. I really think this way. Faith, trust, and expectation have the same meaning. Wait, trust, and expect from the Lord. It's the same. And you know when we need to have faith and trust? When everything is good in our lives, this is the time to rejoice. You know, I have a question. Who has the good time, I mean today? Who had the good time today, great time? I had a great time. Everything's okay with you. Some believers are afraid to have a good time, you know. Something bad. But when you have difficulties, this is the time when you need to have faith and exercise faith. So I would like to read one of the beautiful places of Scripture, but before I would like to look at the life of Moses, and really briefly. Do you remember his story? He was called by the Lord to set free his people. He went to do that when he was 40 years old. And you know the story. 40 more years in the wilderness. 40 more years preparation. When he was 80, and he was probably ready to see the Lord, the Lord told him, "Moses, now it is your time. You're my youth. Go." And it takes 40 more years to lead people of Israel to the promised land. Very interesting. Before receiving the Lord, word from the Lord, and actually fulfillment, it was 80 years, at least 80 years. So the important question for us today, first question, why does this sometimes happen in our lives? That when we receive a prophetic word for our lives, that immediately the trials and difficulties follow. Sometimes it happens, not always, but sometimes it happens. You receive from the Lord, and the next day, why prayed yesterday? The fact is, it's my opinion, I want to share with you. The fact is that the Lord did not turn his back on us. This is the first temptation. Always the voice said, you know, the Lord, he forsake you. It was a joke from the Lord, you know. He had humor. No. The Lord did not turn his back on us. He is faithful. He's never, never forbidden us. Second, he knows our hearts and loves us. He knows our hearts better than we do. He knows everything about us. Everything. You know, sometimes we surprise to ourselves. In good way, sometimes in bad way. But he prepares us for our task, which may take time and cost us hardship. He prepares us. This is truth. The Lord does not want our success to destroy our souls and destroy our lives. He does not want victory at any cost. He wants us to be successful and safe. This is why he prepared us through our life. He says that he will not give his glory to anyone. In Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am Adonai. That is my name. I mean, I like to read this way. I am Adonai. That is my name. Adonai means that I'm in charge. I'm the Lord. I'm Adonai. That is my name. It's not yours name. My glory I will not give to another because he is Adonai. And he will not share his glory with us. It is a heavy burden to bear God's calling. When the Lord acts and incredible miracles happen. The sea opens, mountains shake, and fire comes down from heaven. The human thing is to want to claim all this for ourselves. To believe it all happened because we are special or holy or pure or prayer warriors enough to gain fire from heaven. To believe that they are the reason for it all. We are the reason of it all. And this why, when Joseph became great in Egypt after many years, second only to the Pharaoh, he was prepared to handle that. He was ready to his position. He had been remolded, forever changed by his experiences of those many years in Egypt. The Lord prepared him. He worked in his heart. He did not have his own pride. He simply gave all the glory to God. The Lord humbled him, and he was open for the Lord to do that. It was difficult, but he was ready. He was ready. And I would like to show one interesting picture here, and I would like to read from Jeremiah chapter 18. And please open with me. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. Yeah, beautiful. I like this so much. I have a question for you. Can you see yourself here? Not the hands. No, it's not you. We wish to be the hands, but we are clay. And let's read Jeremiah in this in mind, with this picture. The word came to Jeremiah from Adonai, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making a work on the wheels, the same as here. Whenever the pot that he was making from the clay became flute in the hand of the potter, he remade it into another pot as it pleased the potter to make. He is the Lord. He is the potter, and we are clay. When the Lord of Adonai came to me, when the word of Adonai came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does?" declares Adonai. "Behold, as the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." It's a beautiful picture. Please remember, I don't think it's pleasant, you know, thing. You can feel it sometimes. But he is doing something beautiful. He is doing something beautiful, marvelous. He is reshaping us. He is working with us every day of our lives. And this is the story of Jacob, of Joseph. This is the picture of it. He is working with him. So let's look at the second important question for today, and this is the next thing. What should I do when my circumstances are such that I do not understand anything? What's going on around me? I received the word from the Lord, but why? What to do? Where to go? Why? Why so much hatred around me? Why they don't understand me? I love them, but what's going on here? Where is the Lord? Where are His promises, His support? If you have these questions, Joseph is an example for you. He is an example for you. He managed to be himself in spite of all the hard times in his life and all the difficult trials that befell him. He was managed to be himself. He was Joseph in 17 years old, and he was Joseph when he was much older. He remained a humble, God-fearing, simple person who always, in all circumstances, served the Lord and served the people around him. He managed to remain Joseph. Joseph believed in and completely trusted the Lord, simply gave himself over into the hands of the Lord. He was able to trust the Lord. He remained faithful. Remember the story how the Lord brought Joseph out of prison. When you read this story, you know this story. Even while there, after such injustice to himself in the prison, in the law of the prison, he was able to see the problems of two others, the cupbearer and the baker. He was able to see their problems. And he was able to be an answer for them. His heart was full of compassion. He was servant heart. And through this, he was released through prison and put in the second position after the Pharaoh. Because he was Joseph in the beginning, And in the end, he remained Joseph. The great man of God maintained a close relationship with God throughout his hard life, and so was able to give glory to the Lord for everything. And I know, I understand, this is a difficult thing, to give glory for everything. It's difficult. It's easy to give glory for good things, but sometimes to give glory to the Lord, not to bad things, but to the Lord, in the difficulties, this is the really, it takes faith, takes trust. And we need to learn how to give glory to the Lord in all situations. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, 11, 6, Hebrews 11, 6. And without trusting, having faith is the same. It is impossible to be well-pleasing to God, because whoever approaches Him must trust that He does exist and that He becomes a rewarder to those who seek Him out. And if you read these words without context, it's hard to understand. But this special place in the middle of all the trials of God's people, all chapter 11 speaks about all kinds of difficulties and good things, but to remain faith, to believe that the Lord is here with me and He is a rewarder, He will always reward you. Galatians chapter 6 from 9 verse. Galatians 6, 9. So let us not grow weary of doing what is good. For if we don't give up, as Joseph, we will in due time reap the harvest. Therefore, as the opportunity arises, let us do what is good to everyone, and especially to the family of those who are trustingly faithful. It means believers around you. Continue to do that. It's not easy time. And if you read Galatians chapter 6, you will see again, they went through difficult times. But remain faithful. Stay strong. And also, one of the biggest lessons is how to remain faithful to the calling and hold on to the word that the Lord has given you. Just remain faithful. Be strong. Don't give up. Don't think that the Lord turned His back to you. If you have something, the Lord is with you. If you are in good shape now, praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Because when Joseph came to the point, the Lord blessed him with everything. And he was able to rejoice in the blessings of the Lord. And in the conclusion, I have some interesting things here. So I would like to show the most interesting prophetic aspect from today's chapter. The first of all, in the Jewish ancient tradition, the Messiah is called Ben Joseph, son of Joseph. This title describes the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah about suffering Messiah, where we see that the Messiah will be rejected, punished, put to death for our sins in order to bring great redemption and life for each one of us. And this is why one of the titles of the Messiah is Ben Joseph, Ben Yosef, son of Yosef, suffering Messiah. Just like Joseph, Yeshua was betrayed by his family and suffered for our redemption. Joseph was a redemption for his family, and Yeshua, his redemption for us. Just as Joseph brought salvation from starvation to his family and other peoples who humbly came to him for help, Yeshua became salvation for his people, Israel, and all the tribes on the earth, for all who humbly come to him for heavenly bread. The same. Yeshua, he is our heavenly bread. And I would like to finish with a place of scripture from John, Yohanan chapter 1, verse 10. And this will be my conclusion for today's message. And please open with me if you have scriptures and follow me. John 1, 10. It is about Yeshua the Messiah. He was in the world. In the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him, the same as Joseph. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, for this he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of a bloodline, nor of human desire, nor of man's will, but of God. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon His glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies about Him. He cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, the one who comes after me is above me, because he existed before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace on top of grace. Torah was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Yeshua the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only God, in the Father's embrace, has made him known." Amen. Yeshua, he is perfect salvation for us. And Joseph, he is the prophetic picture of Yeshua, who is our salvation. So let's close with prayer, with Aaronic benediction. Let's stand together and let's thank the Lord for everything. Yeah, for everything. Please not be alone. Find somebody and let's pray together.
Yeverecha Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai Pana velecha, veyasem lecha, shalom.
Amen. Shabbat shalom.